if you don't mind, please, we'll move on to your presentation now.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. And what I'll attempt to do in the 15 minutes that I have is to talk a bit about why forced labour is your business, if you're a business, and specifically talking about how can we understand the business of forced labour, how can that be regulated out of the supply chain, and if I still can manage to learn, how can we learn from governments and businesses that have already been doing that. What I will be drawing on is both the practical experience and expertise of Anti-Slavery International, but also recent research by the Joseph Rowntree Foundation into this topic. So where does forced labour occur within the supply chain, and forced labour and or trafficking within the supply chain as it relates to the UK? Well, the research that we have available says that there are two core underlying factors, and that's the vulnerability of a particular individual and the setting in which their work or services can be exploited for profit without too much of a risk of discovery or prosecution. And the other aspect is how we manage the supply chain and the regulatory framework within which the supply chain is managed, and which permits use of forced labour and exploitation, and where that makes business sense. Often when we talk about forced labour and supply chains in the UK, I see a myth being perpetuated that it is an issue of the global supply chain. In other words, the forced labour happens somewhere else and then it's imported to the UK through the products and supply chains. While this is true on one hand, we also have forced labour within the supply chain that is UK. And of course, if we talk really about really long global supply chains, it makes it more difficult to deal with the issue. However, it's not impossible, as we have heard at the Global Supply Chain Summit a few weeks ago. But where we talk about UK supply chain, it is actually not true that forced labour is hidden. It is there, it's in plain sight, and it can be quite straightforward to detect it when we understand what are the economic factors that are conducive to forced labour, but also where the risks are. And the important thing to realise is that forced labour within supply chain is not confined to serious crime only, but it's also linked to labour market functions and the economic factors that are conducive to forced labour, and that means that forced labour makes economic sense. So, setting the global supply chain aside for the moment, I want to focus on what it is within the UK that we can understand as forced labour within supply chain. Well, on one hand, we've got the product supply chain, which is relatively short in the UK, and that's what the research suggests. And it's basically, simply put, it's what's grown on the farm, as an example, that ends up in our plate, and what happens in that process. And how we can actually understand where the risk factors are and where interventions need to be made is to recognize the stages through which the product transforms from the raw product to the final produce that we buy, and basically identify those stages. And what it means for business, it helps the business to identify whether they might be knowingly or through recklessness be engaged in forced labour. So just to give you a practical example, if you have a farmer that's producing something, they might be either directly engaging in a situation of forced labour or through being ignorant towards the working conditions of the workers that were supplied by somebody else. However, as we all know, we have got quite a limited direct production in the UK, and a lot of the product supply chain is the global one. And where the real problem is, and that's something that was also identified in the research in the Forced Labour Programme by Joseph Rowntree Foundation, is the labour supply chains within the UK. And that's more of a concern, and that's more of a concern in terms of forced labour incidents. And It's because the labor supply chain also consists of various stages, but these stages relate to the varied employment relationship that a worker passes through, and they encompass both direct relationship between the worker and the employer, but more importantly, the triangular relationship with the labor intermediaries. And that can then mean various stages of your labor supply chain, and the lower the tier of a labor supply chain, the more risk there is of forced labor or worker exploitation. And a lot of industries rely on a large body of contingent labor, which is supplied by intermediaries and sub intermediaries, who rely on people who can supply workers within a very short period of time. So I need 30 extra workers tomorrow. Where do I find them? I go to an intermediary, and often I don't ask too many questions. And the result is a supply chain of many tiers, and it can be up to 6, for example, tiers, where it's very, very difficult or more difficult to exercise oversight. And the important thing is, if we look at the industries where these supply chains more commonly occur, such as catering or the construction industry, the supply chains can be lengthened at times of pressure. So, you know, if you need to close a contract, if you need to deliver, if you are pressured with time, the cost pressure of a delay needs to be dealt with. Therefore, you need more workers. Where do you find them? You find a subcontractor that is able to do that, and you do not ask too many questions. So, with the understanding that there are particular risks, why is it that forced labor occurs? Well, there are two reasons. One of them is that it makes business sense, and there is little risk of detection and prosecution, but also that there is extra revenue in that. So just to give you an example, if you have a labor provider, they might not be necessarily engaging in forced labor in the traditional sense, so non-payment of wages and tying workers, but they might be binding workers to the service by obliging them to buy and purchase additional services such as accommodation, translation, transportation, etc., which can create a situation of debt bondage. Again, that's something that is well known, and that's something that's been described, and there is quite a lot of experience about that, and I'm sure the colleague from the Game Masters Licensing Authority will be talking a bit more about those situations. So this is all known. So what can we do about that? Well, I think we need to regulate that out of the supply chain. And obviously we have got a unique opportunity at the moment in the UK when we talk about the modern slavery bill. Where I believe the discussions as well as the proposals that are on the table so far fall short is that they focus mainly within the criminal justice area. However, what we need to combine the criminal justice with is the requirements around due diligence, licensing, and overall improved regulation, not just within the criminal justice system. And one of the points that was made a few weeks ago at the Global Supply Chain Summit, which I think is really important, and it's a point that was made by a former corporate chief executive, is that there are two reasons why companies will comply. It's A, because they're at risk of being put to jail, and B, because it will cost them if they don't. And what is the truth is that we have had about a decade of voluntary codes and various attempts at, you know, disclosure, etc., and auditing. But what we really need to look at is the effectiveness of that. And what we know is it hasn't really been effective, because we do have problems of forced labor within the supply chain. So we need to move beyond talking about auditing and talking about voluntary disclosure to looking at mandatory arrangements, and looking at moving to due diligence and risk assessment, because again, as one of the speakers at that summit rightly put it, auditing is a lagging indicator, and that's an important point. The other issue is the argument that we cannot really regulate too much because businesses will not be happy with that. Well, the law is already there. I don't think this is a valid argument, and I might be a bit controversial, but we do have the law. If we look at the EU directive, which is a law that is directly applicable in the UK, it makes it a criminal offence to profit from human trafficking, also for legal persons, meaning businesses. And that's law that's applicable in the UK, and that's something that needs to be reflected. And at the moment, it's not something that's been really discussed in relation to the modern slavery bill, and we cannot ignore it. And the important thing as well is that the EU directive has a extraterritorial application. So if a company if a British company is benefiting from trafficking that is committed at their subsidiary in another country, they can be held liable. And there are criminal sanctions for that provided in the EU legislation. The Council of Europe convention also provides for legal liability of legal persons, so the law is already there. So we wouldn't be inventing something new or bringing in something new, but just reiterating these are the laws that we are bound by. Now, there is quite a lot talk about the example of the US and the transparency in supply chains legislation in California, which is, you know, a good step, a positive step forward, but it is not enough. However, we can take a further example from the US, and again, it is a criminal offence to benefit from forced labour, either through knowing use or through recklessness. And I'm aware there is actually litigation going on against companies at the moment in the US for precisely doing that. Another example is in the US legislation is their legislation on tariffs and customs, which allow for the customs, the US customs, to seize cargoes where there is suspicion that the cargo is products or raw materials that would have been produced through forced labor or enslavement. Again, I can't go into detail because we are on record, but I'm aware that this has been recently used. So the legislation is already there in other countries, in countries that we are looking towards. So I think, you know, in a situation where the UK is saying we want to be the world leader in dealing with the issue of modern-day slavery, all these examples are already there. So what I would like to see is a bit more ambition, but also using the legislation that we already have and that we are bound by. And that's been really missing from the debate so far. So my final point is, I think we should really be encouraging those companies that already do good stuff. And there are a number of companies, including those who have given evidence in the recent evidence review in the Parliament on Modern Slavery Bill, who do more than they are actually saying on record for one reason or another. And I think it would be important to say, well, actually, encourage them to say, well, don't, you know, bring the examples and show how it is possible and what have you been doing to trace your supply chain all the way down to the factory and to the field, wherever that might be. But also to look at the positive examples that we have from within the UK. The experience of the Gangmasters Licensing Authority is a unique thing that we have, and we should be really making more of a use of that. Also initiatives like the Stronger Together initiative and the way the businesses have actually come together before to push for legislation, which again is the example of the Gangmasters Licensing Authority. It was the businesses who said we need it. And again, I don't think we are necessarily giving them the space, but also we're not necessarily asking them the right questions to be able to give them the examples. But also look at the governments like the government of the United States and what they are doing in terms of not just encouraging and asking businesses, but saying, we've got legislation, and if needs be, we will prosecute. And also, there are other governments, like the government of Brazil, that have been very good in recognizing the issues of slavery, and they have created dirty lists of companies. Again, something that is already an example that has been shown to work, and I think we should be learning from these examples a bit more in the UK.
All right. Clara, thank